This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Herzlich willkommen, liebe Beachvolleyballwelt, zu diesem Olympic Update, zum Paris Update Nummer 1. Und hier gucken wir uns alles von den Olympischen Spielen aus Paris an. Und heute haben wir gleich den ersten Gast dazu geholt. Sein Name ist Ben Abbott und er ist der, ja, sagen wir, Stadionsprecher bei diesen Olympischen Spielen, zumindest einer von denen. So, let's get you in, Ben. I'm happy to see you. How are you? And welcome on the podcast.
Yeah, hey Max. Yeah, good, mate. Really, really well. Excited to be here. Yeah.
Maybe you can introduce yourself just a little bit. I'm sure many have heard your voice somewhere already, but I'm not sure everyone's familiar with your name, at least.
Yeah, potentially. Hi, everyone. My name is Ben Abbott. I'm an Olympic announcer here in Paris for the beach volleyball at 2024. I've been doing announcing for about 4 or 5 years now, COVID interrupting, and this will be my second Olympics, a very different Olympics as well, obviously considering the situation that was Tokyo 2020.
What was the situation? I'm sure many saw it on the air, but like you reminded me like before, and then I remembered, oh, there was no audience there.
Yeah, no, that's it. Obviously COVID affected the Olympics, and it was incredible that the 2020 Olympics went ahead, obviously in 2021. But like we said, there was no fans, there was no spectators. There was coaches in there that were sitting, you know, couple of seats apart in the grandstand, so maybe a total of potentially 50 people in a 12,000 seat venue, and that's including coaches, volunteers, the staff that was working the games, and the players and the referees. So very, very, very different Olympics here in Paris, that's for sure.
And how did you, like you said, it's your second Olympics, how did you land this job in the first place? For like, probably the first one is interesting, but this one is
Very, very interesting story. Playing on the Australian Beach Volleyball Tour, still a diehard volleyball fan and player. Started learning and noticing what the presenters and the DJs were doing on our national tour. And so I put my hand up one day and jumped in the booth, and the microphone got put in front of me and they said, off you go. And then that took me to Thailand to meet the FIVB and their sports presentation team, who I there connected with, who took me to a Tokyo Volleyball Nations League tournament back in 2019. And then colleagues, networking, etc., took me to the Pan American Games in Peru, Lima, back in 2019 as well. And then from there, I was selected for the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games as a beach volleyball announcer. So from there, stayed within the network, have done another Pan American Games in Santiago last year in Chile, and obviously continuing to do many other sports around the space, but beach volleyball is the go-to and the comfort space for announcing within my profession, yeah.
So it wasn't like your childhood dream to do this, but you were kind of like pushed in or stumbled into it.
Well, look, I think I fell into it. I asked the questions, asked the right people, networked, and just gave it a go. And I think that's probably the most important lesson, right? You don't really know what can come of simply giving something a go and having a crack at something different. So Yeah, here I am, second Olympics at arguably the most iconic venue in Olympic history for a sport to be competing in front of, obviously, the Eiffel Tower. So very, very cool.
Let's talk about the venue in a moment. But first, like, what is it exactly that you do right now for the Olympics? And I think you said it's a team of announcers, maybe?
Yep. So I'm the English speaking announcer. We work alongside a team of announcers. There's a fellow English speaking announcer, Mark Schuerman, who is the AVP announcer for their tour. And then there is also four French speaking announcers or local announcers who will be joining alongside myself and Mark in different shifts, so morning, evening shifts, and we will be presenting in-house and being the introductions of the athletes, the play-by-play excitement and hype around each and every point in between sets and timeouts, etc., alongside a DJ as well who will provide all the tracks. His name is DJ Tony Rojas. He's on to his I believe it's something like his seventh or eighth Olympic Games or something. Right. He did it all the way back in Athens 2004, and he's been doing many, many events since then. So, we essentially are the hype people. We're the clowns that bring it all together and make sure that the fans are having a great time and we are celebrating the athletes doing what they do best.
And if you do Olympics, how is it different than your local Australian tour or something like that? I imagine there's more people involved.
Yeah, there's a few more people. The Australian National Tour is growing, which is great. It's exciting. Obviously, Max, you were a part of a few events down in Australia in 2022. And it was great to have you a part of that as well. We're a small community in comparison to a lot of the tours around the world. A very tight community, a growing community, as I mentioned, and very exciting knowing the direction that we're heading, leading into an Olympics that Australia is going to host in 2032. So, very cool.
But you were a part of a different, like, bigger events like Pan American Games and stuff like that. How does that compare to Olympic Games? Like, what's the organizational level that you're a part of right there?
Well, there's a lot of detail-orientated conversations. You've always got to have your brain switched on and always have your listening ears on. And, it is quite a rigid, strict set of instructions and delivery, and we are at the pinnacle of the sporting world with the Olympics. There's a lot of emails back and forth, a lot of information from different parties and people as well. There's people from, you've got the in-venue team, which is your technical operations manager, all the way through to your volunteers and everyone else sort of underneath that. Then you've got your court assistant, you've got your officials, you've got a sports presentation team, which is us, that goes from a venue producer, an assistant venue producer, audio, video, DJs, announcers, presenters, floor managers, cameramen. There's all these different roles and plenty of people involved. So a lot of coordination, and you can't take away the incredible efforts from all involved just to bring it all together. And we're just one venue, thinking about, the Olympics being as big as it is, and with, over a million people being a part of it, essentially, with your spectators, officials, volunteers, athletes, staff, etc. It's just incredible. So, it's a slightly bigger scale than stuff we operate with in Australia there.
And is it working well so far? Like, the only complaints I saw were that the players are living so far away from the courts and have to drive 1 hour through the traffic or one and a half. But apart from that, I've not heard anything negative.
No, it's been incredible. The public transport system here is very good. With the amount of people obviously coming into Paris, you know, a lot of the teams tend to be a little bit separated in terms of, sorry, sports presentation, or the workforce seem to be a little bit separated, but in terms of getting into each and every venue or the Paris central district, public transport's fantastic. The little complaint for the athletes, because of the ever-changing environment and the road closures and things changing with the opening ceremony and all that sort of thing, unfortunately the bus drivers get different directions every single day, so there is a bit of a confusion issue here and there, but they have their good days. There's from the beach volleyball venue, I've heard there's anywhere between 30 minutes to, unfortunately, the world champions the other day got stuck for 2.5 hours. So it varies. It varies per day.
Yeah. Stefan Bormans told me yesterday that his bus driver took a wrong turn and they had to detour like for half an hour. But I guess it's nice for them to live in the Olympic Village. So I think every athlete in the games has to travel to their venue.
And that's it. Nice, like, everyone's in the same boat. Everyone's dealing with the same sort of little issue or problem. Same time, though, you'd argue that it's a little bit of sightseeing as well for anyone new to Paris. So not a bad thing.
Let's talk about the venue, which has been pushed like for months now, and we've seen a lot of photos, a lot of pictures. Is it that incredible like we all think it is?
It's even more incredible than what you think it is. And I don't mean to rub this into the listeners, but it is absolutely phenomenal. Walking in there each and every day, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it now. You know, it's such an iconic landmark of Paris, of the world. And we are within, 500 meters of it, even less than that. And simply walking in there, you see the sand, the courts, knowing the games that are coming with a full stadium of people, 13,000 seats, the Olympic rings up on the Eiffel Tower. Lost for words, but it's one of those venues where if you're having a bad day, you cannot have a bad day, because you simply need to look up and it just resets your whole mindset. So it's incredible.
Yeah, and also the warm-up courts, the training courts, even closer to the Eiffel Tower without the stadium in the way, it's just awesome.
It's an incredible setup. They've done really, really well here, and the athletes have spoken very, very highly of the training courts specifically as well. Of course, the center court or the stadium court is going to be spectacular, but the training courts, the team around it, and the setup of the courts as well. Every athlete is just very, very happy with, what an incredible setup it is here.
Yeah, how did beach volleyball get this chance? I guess it's just the possibility to set up the court right there, because we don't need a fixed place like a stadium or a gym.
I think that might be the core of the reason why it's in that location. There's looking at information throughout the Olympics, and 95% of the venues are either being reused, or they're permanent venues from previous sporting events and tournaments, or they are temporary venues as well. So beach volleyball, with the locations that it has around the world, and the portable nature of the sport and the stadium, you can set it up absolutely anywhere, just making sure you have the space. And I have no idea how we landed the Eiffel Tower, but I am not contesting or arguing anything whatsoever. So, we are the most fortunate sport, I would say, in the Olympics.
Yeah, like you said in the beginning, maybe in the history of the Olympics, like so far at least, but I don't know how you can like top this anytime soon, this site.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I'm fortunate enough to be a part of the Paralympics as well, and I'll be doing wheelchair tennis at the Roland Garros arena there, which is obviously another iconic venue around the world, part of the ATP, and it's obviously a world-class major event for the tennis sporting world as well. So, don't think there's any argument about where any venues I work in the future will be able to compete. But just soaking it all in right now.
Yeah, That's awesome. Maybe that'll set an example for future event holders to put beach volleyball courts in iconic places. That might be something good coming out of this as well. And also,
Look, I'd say to any association, any people considering an iconic location within their beautiful countries, start saving, because I'm sure it's no small cost to be holding an Olympic Games venue, a beach volleyball venue, portable venue, as close as they are to such an iconic monument.
That's true, but it's worth it. Like, I saw pictures of it on like any major sporting sites that have nothing to do usually with beach volleyball, that are just posting this arena, that are also wowed by it. So I think we got pretty lucky.
Lucky is a very big understatement of how lucky we are. But yeah, it's incredible.
Awesome. You have right there in Paris three Australian teams that qualified. Like one of them, the girls, were nobody doubted that they would make it, but both of the men's team were kind of a surprise. And I guess you know them pretty well. And I saw some pictures and videos that looked like they have a lot of fun there. How was it for you to meet them there when they arrived in Paris?
Oh, look, it's incredible. We, Taliqua Clancy and Maria Faye Tacho del Solar, we don't often see them in Australia with the level that they're playing at, and so much consistency at that level as well. So it is incredible to have them at yet another Olympics. They'll both be competing in their third Olympics, which is incredible. So it was lovely to see them, and they looked as casual and as comfortable as any team would be competing in their third Olympics. It's obviously a massive, massive feat to go to one Olympics, but to go to three, you know, they know what to expect. So they just continue to go about their business, very, very professional, but, incredible, individuals, both of them. And, it was fantastic to see them, and, give them a big hug and congratulate them formally on their third Olympics. So yeah, lovely, lovely people indeed. But the boys, they're just loving it. They're just lapping up the experience. They're soaking it all in. Both all four of them, all four individuals, debuting at Olympic level, which is just phenomenal. Like you said, great to have two teams in, and for the first time, Australia has two teams in the Olympics since 2004. So, very, very exciting for those four individuals, those two teams, but also beach volleyball back in Australia. So we seeing those guys, they're happy as, they're massive embrace when we get to see them. Been very fortunate to present all four of those guys on the national tour back in Australia. Of course, Zach and Tom won a silver medal at the Torquay event that we worked in for the Beach Pro Tour Challenge event. And the Elite 16 as well, in Torquay there. So,
that's kind of the start for them, right? The start.
That was
essentially the start of
their progression. And, they've just been hitting stride for stride since then, and made their way into, the top 18 teams in the world. That's, an automatic qualification to an Olympics, which, that's no easy feat. The competition in both men's and women's, you could argue anyone could win it. It's an incredible feat, an incredible couple of weeks coming up. But coming back to the four guys and seeing them, they're just having a great time. Lapping up all the experiences. If you check out their social medias, they're just going about their business, working really hard, but making sure they are soaking it all in. Venue, location, athlete village. They're in a good spot. Very excited to see them take center court.
And can you remain a neutral stance if you see them playing on the center court?
Of course. Full professionalism when approaching an Australian game. There might be a little bit more excitement unintentionally for certain points. But look, I always call myself a beach volleyball fan with a microphone. So anything good that happens either side of the net, regardless of the shirt color, the singlet color, I'm going to have a great time and make sure I'm celebrating the sport and each individual and their successes being able to get to this time of the Paris Olympics. So, no, very exciting.
Maybe you can work in some like inside jokes in the introduction when you call them onto the court. But
there's a few nicknames in there, and they're all sort of above par, so it's okay. If you're listening into the Olympics and the introductions, you'll definitely hear a few for these guys. But very, very exciting to be able to present three Australian teams at an Olympic game. So, can't wait.
And you've been following the World Tour, the Pro Tour closely. So you kind of have an expert stance. let's see if you have it. But let's talk about the teams that play there a little bit. Like, first of all, what are you like excited about the most? To which teams do you want to see the most, how they perform? And then in the end, we of course have to talk about like who's going to take it home.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's hard to go past your Norwegians and your Swedes. Those two teams, obviously just incredible athletes, very exciting teams to watch as well, playing, very, very unique and different styles. The consistency and dynamic nature of the Norwegians, how they play and how they approach their games. Obviously reigning Olympic champions, Anders Moll coming off an injury, but since stepping back onto the scene, they've got a bronze, then a gold, in the two tournaments they competed in, prior to the Olympics. So they're in red hot form, and, I love their nature off the court. I actually spoke to them yesterday and just, said hello, and, they just seem very, very calm, happy to go about their business. And then I watched them train on centre court as well against Zach Schubert and Tom Hodges of Australia. So they're looking very good. And I think they're also big tournament players as well. When it comes to the big show, the big dance, they're one of the teams to watch. So too, the world champions from the Czech Republic, Šwana Perušić there. I've seen them train here as well, and they're just looking very, very solid. Their ball control is impeccable. The team cohesion as well on court, you just get that real comfort energy between them, and they're going to be a very, very tough team to beat. And coming back to the Swedes, I've never seen them play in person, something I'm very, very excited to see. Unfortunately, they do take on our young Australian team of Mark Nicolaides and Isaac Carrojo straight away. So no easy feat for the Aussies first up. But, what an experience that'll be for those two young Aussie boys. But, the Swedes doing their thing. Obviously, just trademark style of beach volleyball. Fast, dynamic, explosive, powerful. And, they're young, both 22 years of age, both ticking off, silver medal at the World Champs in La Scala last year. They've been to Pro Tour Championships and, playing incredible ball there and consistently being up in that semi-final sort of even gold medal match place for a lot of their tournaments. So, but you look at all the pools, right, of all the men's competitions specifically, and they're going to be incredible matches across the board.
It's gonna be awesome. Yeah. But you witness it, like, let's stick to the men's. You witness it in Tokyo, maybe the pressure of playing Olympics, like, notice people that it's not like any other tournament. And for like Perlic, like the Czech guys, Perličvana or Mozorum, they are not playing the first their first Olympics, or the Poles, the Polish guys, that are just so experienced. And you think that can hit the Swedes at that level, or are they just too cool for that?
I don't know. I think the Swedes, from what I've seen in their matches, they are very they very much embrace the crowd and the environment they're in. They know that they're putting on a show that the world of beach volleyball love. So I think, they'll come out and there'll be always, first game jitters and maybe they're not hitting their stride straight away. But as every tournament, each team works into it. I think, maybe a bit of pressure from the beach volleyball world in the sense of expectations upon them. But you know, they're professionals. They're young professionals, but they are professionals, and I think they're going to be able to, play some of their best volleyball in this tournament. And I reckon the crowd will absolutely get behind them, which I think plays right into their style as well. So, but like you say, it's young, new tournament, first Olympics. Yeah. You never know.
And I guess also like all of the teams are out to get them. Everyone has laid out a plan. Like if we hit the Swedes, like if we meet them, we have a plan ready to, and prepared a lot of things, because without that preparation, no one's able to beat them or has been able to beat them this year. So
no, exactly right. Yeah, and I think the preparation for that particular game, you know, there's a whole separate book of information that they're gonna the teams are gonna try to work through to figure it out. But there's been less than a handful of teams that have been able to beat them at this level, and it'll be just interesting to see sort of how the an Olympic level, how teams adjust to that. But it should be very, very exciting.
Also, your Olympic experience, an Olympic expert. It's the longest tournament that you can have in beach volleyball. It's taken like almost 2.5 weeks, right? Or yeah, two weeks.
It's about 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, weeks. From Saturday to Saturday. Could be if you play the gold medal match. Yes. What kind of role does that play? Because I can imagine, for example, for our German guys, it's very fortunate to have space between the games to be fully rested, to get their full potential. And like, for example, the Swedes that are just absolute machines, athletic machines, they don't care if they have 2, 3, 4 games in a day.
They're young. They're young. They'll be okay.
They're young. They can do that. Or the Czech guys, they like to be like rested. Does that make any difference to be like fully prepared, fully rested? And does it help some teams more than others?
I think what is exciting for as an Olympic competition, it's not like any other competition in the world. You know, the World Champs is a week. Or maybe a little bit longer. And you know, the Beach Pro Tour is 4 days, 3.5 days. And again, this is if you're making, you know, the gold medal match, at the end of each competition. I think what's exciting about the Olympics is the amount of rest time and recovery time, the athletes will get between each and every game. It's the Olympics, right? So every single match is going to be fierce, competitive, extremely high level, fast-paced, world-class beach volleyball. And I think what's exciting is the fact that they can go out there for each and every game and leave nothing on the line. So we can expect to see 100% effort every single point, every single play, set, every single match, because the athletes do know that they have a good, you know, overnight rest at the very least, which includes a really good refueling with their food, really good recovery back at the athlete village, and they can go back and have a good sleep and rest as well. So it plays a massive, massive role in just allowing these guys to be at their best all the time. Again, just allowing the competition to be incredible. So, how it affects people, I don't think it will. I think everyone just needs to acknowledge the space that, yeah, they've got an incredible amount of recovery time afterwards. So we want the best.
Yeah, it's good for us. So we will see the best beach volleyball that there possibly is in the world. That's awesome. Let's talk about the women's field. Do you have any any guesses who will take home
any
the gold?
Any guesses? Look, it's hard to go past the USA girls and how consistent they have been.
All four.
Yeah, all four of the athletes. I love the aggressive nature of Sarah Hughes and Kelly Cheng. I love their style of play. They are arguably the fiercest competitors in the women's competition outside of, you know, you'd say the Brazilians as well, and Duda and Ana Patricia, who are just world-class, doing research and information knowledge on these ladies leading into this competition and this level. You can't look past them either. So again, you know, there's a very, very deep competition in the ladies draw. You've got, a five-time Olympian in Laura Ludwig as well, who you just can't underestimate her, right? Like her experience and her time in the sport. Maybe she's not potentially not going to be an Olympic champion, but you're not for 2024, but you're not going to step into the court and go, cool, she's the number 15 seed,
Yeah, easy win. That's not it.
No, yeah, it's just not the case. at all, She knows this sport. She knows the court. She knows this level better than most. So, look, hard to go past the USA girls, Duda, Ana Patricia, Brazil. But again, you've got your bronze medalist from Tokyo as well, and Tina Grodna and Anastasia Samoilov. Samoilova. Thank you. Those two have been training really well and playing some really good volleyball as well. Both still quite young, and second Olympics, so you don't know what level they can take it to. And again, you can't rule out Talika Clancy and Maria Fea Tachado del Solar. They're silver medalists. They're going to be up there. And there's no reigning champion here. Obviously, USA as a nation is the reigning champion, but Team AA, April Ross and Alex Kleinman aren't here. So, anyone's competition. Very exciting.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I think, I think in the women's competition, it's a little bit harder to get past, like, the first three seeds. Like you said, it's Hugh Cheng, it's Nas Cloth, and Duda and Ana Patricia. Yep. Like, there's going to be a tough fight for anyone to get past them in potentially, like, quarterfinals.
There's some pools of death as well.
the Laura Lippe pool, for example.
Oh, gosh. it's every single game is – you got to treat that like a gold medal match. Hence the fortunate space of recovery and playing one game a day. So you want to
– Yeah.
You want to be leaving it all out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, and also, like, all right, if you look at the system and the mode of play, you can advance as a third place and get the lucky loser draw as well. But after that, you will play against a head of a pool in the first round of the elimination phase, and then you're gonna have to beat one of those teams that we just talked about. So then you advanced, but still, it's gonna be a tough thing. And so the group matches will be so important as well, which is
And look, we'll see the
best beach volleyball.
Exactly, and that's all what it takes to be an Olympic champion, isn't it? So, every single game is your gold medal match. That's the way you got to treat it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, Ben, we are hearing that you're very excited, and I think we are as well. And I'm very happy that that there's also beach volleyball people on the mic, which is not always the case. Like, you've commentated other sports. It's not always like the announcer isn't necessarily someone from the sport. So we are very fortunate to have you guys there. And I'm excited to see you on the weekend and hear you
in action. Yeah, great to see you in person as well and catch back up for sure.
And also with the other Aussie guys working the field of play and doing stuff there.
There's plenty of us here.
And see you there. Thank you very much for your time, and I guess you have to get back to work, to real work soon, so thanks very much.
most of the hard work is done, but there is some final preparations. We're off to the venue this afternoon to do some final checks for sounds and videos and lighting and all that sort of thing, and a full rehearsal, so we'll make sure that we're ready to go for the athletes to do their thing and they can just walk on the court and give it their all. But Max, thank you very much for having me, my friend. It was great to catch up, great to talk Olympics, and look forward to seeing you as well.
You too. Thank you very much. And for everyone else, we'll hear it back again, like in a 1 day, 2 day rhythm from people from the Olympics or from back home with expertise and cover the games. Thanks for listening, and until the next time.
Du bist Podcast-Profi und möchtest mehr über Podcast-Reichweiten lernen? Dann komm zu Gezielt, die Reichweiten-Konferenz. Sie wird das aufschlussreichste B2B-Event der Branche 2024. Dort dreht sich alles um Aufbau, Messung und Nutzung von Podcast-Reichweiten. Erfahre von erfolgreichen Strategien, neuer Technik und den besten Tipps zum Steigern der Sichtbarkeit deiner Podcasts. Gezielt die Reichweitenkonferenz findet am 12. September in Berlin statt. Sichere jetzt Tickets für dich und dein Unternehmen unter www.berlinpodcastweek.de.